You for your word. Thank you that you give us this kind of opportunity to reflect and weigh it and think on it and meditate upon it together. Thank you that through your servants, you by your Spirit speak into our hearts and to our lives. So I pray for Jem as he shares. But Lord, what I pray for more is for each one of us here. That, Lord, you would just give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying this morning. So we just turn our minds, our hearts, turn our spirits, who we are deep within, to you, and we invite you to speak into our lives. We are indeed children of God, and we want to know what that means more and more and more. So we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brilliant. Okay, so as you might have guessed, we're talking about being ambassadors for Christ this morning. We've heard how Martin and Helen have been representing Christ on the street. I just want to ask Zion to tell us something that happened to him this week as well.
I was just wanting to tell a quick testimony about what happened on Thursday. What was really, really amazing about this testimony is that I basically did nothing, and God pretty much did everything. So I wasn't thinking about talking to anyone about Jesus. I was driving back in my car, and I got home, and I pulled up. I got out of the car. And there was a guy just across the road, and I felt like God said, "Would you cross the road and say hello to that guy?" So I said yes. And so at the time it was about 8:30, and it's just getting dark. So I chat to him, and in the end I get to pray for him. I don't really think much of it. It's, you know, I love chatting to people, I love praying for people, and then it's getting dark, it's pretty cold, so I'm like, I'm gonna go now. And at that point he said, he grabs like my arm, and he says, "Please would you stay and sit here and tell me about this Jesus?" So we sit out on this stone wall in the dark, and he says, I believe in God, but I don't know whether Jesus is the Son of God or not. But I feel like you need to tell me about it." So I told him about Jesus and how I knew it, because Jesus introduced himself to me as a friend. And so that made God not just a far off concept, but someone I can know. And I said, you know, I've told you all about this good news, but would you like Jesus to introduce himself to you? And he said, yes. So I got to pray for him. Just there, it's like, by this time it's like 9:30. It's really cold, and it's just like God's presence was just there, and he just starts bawling. He's just and I said that's, you know, this is Jesus, and he's just there nodding his head. And this was he was on holiday. It was his last night up in Cornwall, and I was just like, God sorted that out. Last time before he's going back up country. And I was there just at the right time when I was just, God's just good.
It's brilliant, isn't that? Fantastic. Now I need a volunteer, someone who can read for me a passage. We're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 20 through to 6, verse 2. So it's four verses. Who would like to do that for me? Please. Thank you, Chris.
We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on God, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation.
Now is the day of salvation. That's it. And we've heard two stories now, and I'm sure there are many more stories about that. When you see, I don't know if you noticed there, but it started off with the word therefore. And as Matt pointed out to us a couple of weeks ago, two, 3 weeks ago, when you see therefore in the Bible, you need to know why it's therefore. Okay, so we're going to have to go back a little bit and see what Paul's train of thought is. We won't go back right to the beginning of 2 Corinthians 5 with this thought. And it says, Paul is saying, what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? So as Christians, we believe that life will overcome death. Inevitability to die will be swallowed up by life, and that is the life of Jesus Christ. So he starts with there, and he then goes on, his train of thought goes on to the next carriage, and he's going, well, because of this, we are always of good courage. And then, because of this, we want to be pleasing to God. And because of this, we try to persuade others about it as well. And because of this, we won't judge them by their appearances. Because of this, we are new creations. We are new creations. The old has passed away. We heard this from Karen 2 weeks ago, I think it was. The old creation, the old nature has passed away, and we are new creations. We are that promise that life will completely swallow up those things that are destroying each of us, that death. Death has no sting anymore. That's what we believe as Christians. So let's have a look at what this means for us in this passage there. It's a very dense passage, so I'm going to pick out four different things from this passage that is we're going to kind of try and put together. And funnily enough, they each come from each verse. So let's have a look. But let's look at therefore, because we are a new creation, okay, because of that, we are ambassadors for Christ. Okay. Now, when Karen was talking about being a new creation, the main verse that she talked about was, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, a lot of kind of Christian jargon going on there, but reconciliation. I'm sure I wasn't actually here when Karen did the preach, but I heard it was very, very good. And I got some really good notes from Megan as well. So I kind of know what she did. And I know that she defined what reconciliation was. This is how I define it. So reconciliation is when friends become enemies for some reason, and then become friends again. And we are reconciled to God because at some time we have rebelled against God, but he, through his mercy, showed us his love through his son dying on the cross and brought us back into that set of friendship again. We are reconciled with God. Okay, so because we are a new creation, that's why we are ambassadors for Christ. And that's why we can go on the streets and represent Christ out in the world. Can we have the next bit? So we are ambassadors for Christ. Let's try and unpack this a little bit, because even this is a really quite... there's a lot of thinking in this. So ambassador, the word ambassador by the Oxford English Dictionary means an accredited diplomat sent by a state as its permanent representative to a foreign country. For example, the French ambassador to Portugal. Basically, what it means is that we are Christ's representative to a spiritually foreign country. Let's pick that out a little bit more, even so. So first of all, we are accredited. Now, what accredited means is that we have been given authority to be that representative. Each one of us has been given the authority, not because of what we've done, it is because what Jesus has done, what Jesus did on the cross. That's why we have the authority to represent Christ. We are diplomats, and diplomats to me kind of seem as though we have wisdom. We may not think we have wisdom, but we are diplomats. And that wisdom, again, comes from Christ. It's the wisdom that we have found in Christ that we are enabled to pass on to other people around us. We are sent by a state. That state is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And whatever the kingdom of God represents, we represent that into this world. As we meet people every day. I was also in London, actually, over the last three days as well. And there's so many people. There are so many people. But, you know, we represent the kingdom of heaven to these people. That's who we are. It's nothing that we've done ourselves, but we represent that to other people. So we are representatives. And that means that we also have the ability to speak for Jesus. That's an amazing responsibility, isn't it? So, you know, if someone says, yeah, but Jesus, I'm going to go to hell because I've done bad things, you know, we can speak on behalf of Jesus, say, no, the cross has paid for all that. There is nothing that the cross is not big enough to overwhelm with life. As we were starting off, mortality has been swallowed up by life. And it's in a foreign country. So we are talking about a place where there are bad things that happen. There are evil things that happen. But we, as Christ's representatives, can inject that newness of life, that kingdom, authority and power and peace and joy. It's a responsibility that we have. We are ambassadors, each one of us. Okay, so this is an amazing thought coming up in the next verse. So this is your first quarter of your Neapolitan cake, if you will. Okay, this is the second quarter. This has happened so that we might become the righteousness of God. If you're ever wondering what your purpose to life is, what your purpose in life is, it's this. So can we have the next slide? We could have all sorts of pulls in different directions. You know, be this, be as good as you can in this, and like, succeed in this, get as much money, you know, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, our purpose in life is to become the righteousness of God. Amazing responsibility, isn't it? You know, if we don't show the righteousness of God, who will know that it exists? Righteousness is not just being right. Okay, we all think we're right. All of us do. But it's not. Righteousness is not being right, but it's being right with God. Isn't that? So there's a difference. You come in line with what God says to us. That is the righteousness. And we can only be righteous if we are participating in that friendship that we talked about. When we are reconciled with God and become his friend, that is how we pick up on the righteousness that he wants revealed to other people. This next piece of the cake then. We urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Now, what does that mean? The grace of God is a present, isn't it? God gives us presents. So how can you receive a present in vain? Well, I've got a little story that will explain this. And this comes from the Old Testament, in fact. It comes in 2 Kings 7. And I've been going through this with some of the young people. It's about Elisha. And let me give you the context of this story. It is at the time of Elisha, obviously, there is a siege around the city of Samaria. At that time, Samaria was the capital of Israel, and the king used to live in Samaria, and Elisha was also in this capital. The Aramaeans, who had a mighty army, had completely surrounded the city. A massive army. And as far as you could see, when you looked out from the city, there were more and more soldiers. A little bit like Lord of the Rings, when you see all these orcs. I don't know if you've seen that program now, but there's just masses and masses of people just sitting there, just waiting for the next thing to happen. And because they were sitting there outside the city, no food could come in or out from the city at all. So things was starting to look bleaker and bleaker for anyone inside the city. So it says in 2 Kings 7 that a donkey's head, I presume that you're going to eat this donkey's head, was sold for masses amounts of money. That's how much. In fact, it got so bleak that I don't want to mention it actually this morning, but cannibalism started taking place within the city. Awful situation. Here we have Elisha. We have the king. He's not a very good king, I've got to say. And then we've got these marauding armies around about, just making the situation look as bleak and as horrible as possible. How on earth are they going to get through this? Elisha speaks up and he says, no, this is not going to happen. We will see salvation. And he says, you know, we are starving here, but in actual fact, tomorrow morning, he says very specifically, tomorrow morning, we will see more food than we can even eat. We will see plenty. This will be a time of plenty. Even if we were, rain came and we were able to grow the things, it could not possibly happen. And Elisha said, well, no, tomorrow morning, there'll be more than we can eat. That is salvation. That is salvation from the Lord. Well, there were four lepers who were stood by the gates of the city. And they, I don't know whether they actually knew about Elisha's proclamation, but they said to themselves, if we stay in this city, we're going to die. So what we're going to do is we are, just four of them, we're going to go over to this vast army and we're going to surrender. And if they kill us, they kill us. We're going to die anyway. That's that. So they went out to this vast army. And this is, when they got there, they found that the camp of the armies was completely deserted. So So let's read from 2 Kings 7, verse 8. When these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they entered one tent and ate and drank. Okay, so they got what they wanted straight away. And they carried from there gold and silver and clothes. Not only did they get food, but there's more than enough. And they went and hid them, okay, because they're obviously a little bit, you know, a lot of people are wanting these things. And they returned and entered another tent. And again, it was deserted. And they carried from there also, and they went and hid them. Then they said to one another, "We are not doing what is right. This is a day of good news. But we are keeping silent about it. We want it for ourselves. If we wait until morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household." Now, what had happened, I believe this happened because Elisha said, "No, salvation will come this morning." What had happened is that the vast armies had heard the sound of hooves and another army coming against them. And they had completely been scared off and just run off in fear of their lives, leaving everything that an army would leave if they were prepared to kind of sit it out against this city. So these four lepers took the initiative. They went out to the army and risked their lives in doing it. But they were the people who came back with such good news. There was nothing. There was no army there. Salvation had indeed come to that place. And the following morning, not only did they have food and drink, but they had gold and silver and everything that the armies had as well. I believe that is because Elisha declared that out. And we've heard this morning two accounts of where we've been bold enough to kind of stand out and talk to people. God does so much for people. You know what? It is now that is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. So I don't know whether in your own situations, maybe you don't feel that you're good enough to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't feel that you can be the righteousness of God. Maybe you don't feel that there's enough resources from God to go round. But now is the day of salvation. When we represent Christ, there's a sense in which Christ had to represent Christ as well. Christ was a concept that the Jews learnt about in the Old Testament that was about a freedom, was about breaking free from the oppressor, and was good news to people. And we get this account in Luke chapter 4 when he comes into the temple. The book of Isaiah was handed to Jesus, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel," or the good news, "to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." That word favorable is also translated acceptable year of the Lord. So there's a real kind of a cross between those two passages there, Luke 4 and 2 Corinthians 6. At that point, he closed the book. Jesus closed the book gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. They all knew this passage very, very well. It was written 700 years before. And for those 700 years, people are waiting, longing for the day when the Christ will appear. And these are the words that are referring to the Christ. And he began to say to them, today, or now, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Now is the time of salvation. As we follow Jesus, we have the ability to declare that now is the time of salvation. We can look into people's situations. We can see that destruction is happening. We can say death, it may well be happening. But we can make a stand and say, Jesus, we believe Jesus is the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we believe this because we know that mortality will be swallowed up in life. Some of these things we need to kind of shed off. We were praying this morning about sometimes a snake will shed its skin, its old life. And that's exactly what is happening when it says that we are a new creation. We are putting aside things that we are not good for us or are not good for the people around us. So when we come to this passage, we can say that we are ambassadors for Christ. We might not feel we're good enough, but we are good enough because he has taken us. He carries us. In Christ, we are new creations. Our old life is put behind us. So we can be representatives for Christ. We can bring good news to those who are poor. We can bring release to the captives, sight to the blind, and so on. Because now is the day of salvation. Since we are reconciled then, we are more we are ambassadors for Christ. And I'll just pick out the sections that I'm wanting to emphasize, so that we might become the righteousness of God. We urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain, but let us take what is salvation and say, now is the acceptable time for it. Now is the day of salvation. Let us pray. Jesus, we just praise you for who you are, everything that you stand for life. You stand for life. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. Who may not have even seen this before. We just pray, Jesus, that you will bring your life and put it into our situations. Each one of us knows a situation that salvation needs to come to. And I just really pray that we will declare the salvation of our God in that situation. That we'll pray into that situation and bring the salvation of our God into that situation. And we thank you that we don't need to do that in our own strength. It's not who we are so much as who you are. And I just really pray, Jesus, for each one of us when we're thinking about a situation that needs release, that needs insight, that needs wisdom and peace, Jesus, that you will bring it right now, because now is the day of salvation. Amen.